The Lord is good.
Amen.
Getting up to sing on that brand new hip. If you stayed home from church because you had a sore toe, you're a wimp. We're going to be in John chapter 6 today. The Gospel of John, third book in the New Testament, chapter 6. Who's counting? Fourth book in the New Testament. Thank you, Todd. Gotta keep these guys straight, man. All right. I think we're gonna start at verse 22, chapter 6, verse 22, if I'm not, correct me. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one wherein his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone, howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias, nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. And when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. When they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou here? And Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for that meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you, for him hath God the Father sealed. And when they said unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. And let's pray and ask God to bless our message today. Lord, we come into your presence humbly, Lord. We need you. We need your power. We need your strength, your everything that you give, Lord, that we need. Lord, without you, we're nothing. And Lord, unless you bless this service, Lord, it won't be blessed. Unless you move in the hearts of the people, Lord, work won't get done. Lord, we realize that we need you, Lord, and we need you to speak through your word. So as a result, Lord, I ask that you would just help me to say those things that need to be said, and that you would help me to be clear and to be able to communicate your truth in a way that's understandable. And Lord, please work in the hearts, in the minds of everybody in this room, even the ones that are now listening over the internet. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, we've got a passage, and of course, I could have read the whole entire chapter to give us the context, but basically, the context was is that this is one of the times when Jesus had fed an incredible number of people by a miracle. He had taken a small amount of food and ended up feeding thousands of people with just this small amount of food. This is a real miracle. This is not one of those pretend miracles that we have today, or, you know, trying to get circumstances and kind of thinking, well, yeah, you know, that could have kind of been a miracle. It wasn't deceit. There was no deception. He actually multiplied physical bread and actually physically fed thousands of people. It was an amazing thing. If you just saw it happen, even the disciples were amazed, you know, how are we going to feed so many people with so little food? And of course it was done, and they had gathered leftovers. And so, this caused quite a stir, and people really paid attention to the Lord Jesus because of this. And, And they were giving attention to what he had said, and they were very, very interested. Well, everything kind of settled down. He told his disciples to get into a boat, go on the other side of this small sea in the area of Israel, a body of water. He said, you guys row over to the other side, and he says, I'll catch up with you later. And so when the people were looking around, Jesus was, of course, off by himself. The disciples were already on the way on the other side of the sea, and they were wondering, where in the world did he go? What, you know, we can't find him. And, of course, they were very interested because their bellies were still very full, and it looks like they may have wanted to see some more stuff, maybe see some more miracles, maybe get another free meal, you know, who knows? So they decided that they were going to get into some ships themselves, come over to the other side. And that's where we find our passage right here, is that they had taken some ships. They found Jesus and they said, hey, how did you get over here? You know, they were acting all interested, like they were really interested in what he had. And of course, I'm telling you something. Jesus Christ, he knows the hearts.
Amen.
He'll know your motivation for coming. By the way, he'll know not only if you came, but why you came. He knows why you're interested in his things. And that's when he made this statement. He said there in verse 26, we'll reread it again. You seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. He caught them, man. He found out their motivations for why they wanted, why they were interested in him. And so what I want to preach about today is what is it that you really want from Jesus Christ? What is it that you're really interested in? Why are you seeking him? What is it that you want from him? And it may open your eyes to find out that there's a lot of people that seek God, but not for the reasons that they ought to be seeking God. Maybe in the past, you've had a friend that you were probably aware that that person was your friend, not because he really cared about you, but because there was something that you could do for him. I had a friend of mine a long time ago, and he had worked out some land deals, and he had gotten a pretty nice ranch. And he told me one time, he said, Brian, he said, I never realized how many friends I really had until I got this ranch. Hey, there are a lot of people that want to be your friend, but not necessarily because they really care about you and they want to be your friend. Maybe there's some favor that you can do for them. And so it kind of used to be a joke around here. You know, if somebody complimented you, you automatically questioned that and find out, so what's going on? You know, oh, no, no reason. I just think you're a good brother. Well, there's got to be a reason if you're calling me a good brother, you know. We all got a little suspicious of you. We got over all that. But also, you know, it's amazing when we think we can get something for free. And you care, you put the show on because you want to get something for free. Judy and I are guilty of that. There's one, and I think I've told the story before. A guy called on the phone one time and said, hey, man, we got this property and we want you to come look at this presentation and everything. Well, I didn't have any money. I lived in a little mobile home in a trailer park and was making payments on my trailer, on my truck, even on my work boots. I was making payments. I was not in the position to be buying anything. But he says, if you come, we're going to give you a free 35mm camera. So we did. We went through, we saw the thing, went through, toured the place. At no point did I have any interest in this thing at all. And we got down to the end, and we're in the big room. And, of course, when somebody bought something, they're ringing the bell. They're making a big deal out of this. And I finally decided it's time to be honest. And I said, look, I have no interest in the timeshare. I just wanted the camera. He got mad. But then they got this thing designed. They took us into this little room. There were no windows in this room, barely lit. Sit down here and wait. You know, a lady came in, handed us a box. There's your camera. It turned out to be one of those little cardboard, remember those little cardboard things you get in the checkout aisle? That's what it was. Oh, we didn't care about the timeshare. Although we were walking around. Oh, really? Yes. And this is the swimming pool. This is how many. Really? Oh, that's nice. And so what about this? And it wasn't fair. The poor guy spent his whole day, wasn't going to get a sale. We wasted his time, I'm sure. I got a camera. I think I still got it because I took pictures and then I forgot to mail it in to get developed. I think I might still have that thing. And, you know, that's a funny story and everything, and I'm sure everybody's got one that's similar. Here's the sad thing. Here's the sobering wake-up call, is that's exactly how some people treat God. Yeah. I'm telling you. Oh, Rabbi, we didn't even know that you had left and you came over here. Rabbi, we crossed the ocean looking for you. Now you're here. So, and they were pretending like they were really cared, like they were really interested. And it turned out that he had them pegged. He said, look, I'm telling you. He didn't say, look, I'm telling you. I said that, but he said, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you ate of the loaves and you were filled. Now, here's one thing that's really, really sad about these guys is they didn't seek him because they saw a miracle. You know, if you really, truly see a miracle, you should be impressed. Yeah. You should be impressed. We can look at other passages in the Bible and we can find people who, when they saw a miracle, they were like, that's it, truly. This was the Son of God. They had no more arguments. There was nothing else. You know, the disciples saw Jesus speak to a raging ocean and the ocean was immediately calm. They were impressed. I'm telling you, what God does ought to impress you. Amen. You ought to be impressed. You ought to be in awe. You ought to just go outside and look, you know, just go out into our parking lot and look at those trees that we planted and see the thumbprint of God on everything around us. Wow, this is an amazing thing. I was out feeding the chickens this morning and I saw what I thought to be just the most amazing thing. Have you guys seen those little black beetles that take dung and they roll it up into a little ball and then they carry it off somewhere? Yeah. I don't know. I guess I'm like my kids, you know, when my kids were little, I'd send them out to find the trash and they wouldn't take the trash out and I'd go out an hour later and they're sitting there following a bug home. I know now where they got it from. They got it from me. I'm sitting there this morning looking at this bug and I'm like, this is amazing. Who told that bug to take this dung, roll it up in a ball, carry it home? I'm going to look on the internet and find out why. I have no idea why, but I'm very interested now. I'm telling you, we got miracles all over the place like that. I'm telling you, this is insane how you have all this stuff going on that you don't even see. How about in your own bodies? I watched a video the other day of a guy who took his own blood and then put it on a microscope and saw the white blood cells, you know, attacking things and doing all that kind of stuff. God is incredible. Amen. He is amazing. You ought to be impressed with what God does. They were not. All they cared about is when I'm going to get another free meal. They were pretending they loved God because they thought that he could give them something. I'm telling you, if you are seeking God for what you can get in this life, you've missed the whole point. There are some people that they seek God for just an emotional experience. A lot of churches are catering to that now, by the way, and we try hard not to. Maybe we try too hard not to. I don't know, but we really don't put a lot of stock here in emotional experiences. We're not manipulating the lights or trying to, you know, create this musical mood or anything like that in order to manipulate your emotions and all that. There's a science behind it. And we could do that. We could absolutely, because people would need to come in and feel, you know, and experience, you know, but God doesn't put a lot of stock in emotional experience. In fact, he tells us in Matthew chapter 13, he said, there's going to be some people that they're going to receive his word and they're going to be joyful and they're going to be happy. And then when persecution arises because of the word, then they're going to be offended and they're not going to care about him anymore. Listen, you ought to be seeking God for a whole lot better reason than just to feel good.
Amen.
When I first came here to this church, and by the way, this is the church where I got saved. This is the church where the Lord called me to preach. This is the church where I found my wife. This is the church that I became a pastor of. And now this is the church that I'm going to be a missionary out of. I'm telling you, you don't have to go to millions of different churches. Man, a local church. Anyway, that's a whole different message. Got off on that and I forgot what my point was. But I'm telling you something, that God is amazing. God's gonna, the emotional experience. That was it. Got back on it. Thank you, Lord. Now I remember my point too. Point was, when I first got here, I felt bad. They preached. It didn't make me feel good. I don't remember that from Mass. I used to go to Catholic Mass and I feel good. I'd come out and I just feel good. And I realize why now, because they bombarded my senses. I was telling Brando and Lena that the other night, the sense of smell, the sense of taste, the sense of sight, the touch, everything, the beads and the incense and the statues and everything. So it bombarded my senses. And since I wasn't saved, it had an effect on me. But when we get saved, God's not trying to bombard your senses. He wants to go a lot deeper than that. He wants to get to your heart.
Amen.
And there were some things that were being preached that were showing me my sin. It made me uncomfortable. Now, at that point, I could have walked away and I could have said, you know what? That church right there, it didn't really make me feel good. People come here, they say the same thing. They said, you know, I didn't really get warm fuzzies when I was at that church and I'm never going back. That may be a real mistake. A real mistake. Sometimes God will deal with your heart in a way that will make you feel bad, because God doesn't care about making you feel good in the short term. He's trying to get you to the heart of your problem. And by the way, our problem is not bread. Our problem goes a lot deeper than that. Also, if you are gravitating towards an emotional experience, it's going to leave you vulnerable to manipulation. Do you know how some of these cult leaders like Jim Jones and others, they're able to get a group of people and manipulate them into feeling and doing and all of that? It's all based on emotionalism. We all have emotions. We all feel good and feel bad. But listen, just don't gauge your spirituality on your experience, on your emotions. Don't do it. And God wasn't trying to manipulate their emotions when he did this miracle either. He was trying to get them to see something else. But some people, they'll seek God for an emotional experience. And so then when something is boring or for some reason it's not touching their heart, they're out of it. You ought to be serving God whether you feel good or whether you feel bad, whether you sense his presence or don't sense his presence. I'm telling you, I just sense the presence of God. Well, that's cool if you did, but what about when you don't? What about when just life gets hard? What about when you just got to go through and do the routine day after day and just obey what God told you to do? There ought to be something more than simply emotionalism driving you toward the Lord. Amen. How about a sense of obedience that you're going to do what he told you to do, whether you feel like it or not? And of course, we got all kinds of other things. I'll touch lightly on a few others. Some follow them for business or profit. You know, and I've had friends that they choose their church based on their business associations, you know. And for business, that's a wise thing. You know, you want to make yourself connected. You want to build a certain network, so you do these things. But that's not really a good idea to pick a church, to find one where you get good business associates. Also, some people are interested in seeking the Lord just when they get into trouble. I sat down with a young man one time in a Jim's restaurant, and he's like, man, I need the Lord. And I had been talking, witnessing to him about a year and a half or so, and I'm like, what changed? I need the Lord. And so he was trying to get me to get him a reference to go to Roll Off Homes. And I'm like, hey, slow down. What's going on? And he wouldn't tell me. He just said, man, I need the Lord. I'm ready to seek the Lord. I'm ready to do what he wants me to do. And I just got kind of suspicious. It turned out later on that he had been accused of a crime and he was up on charges. And all of a sudden, he saw his freedom being taken away, and then all of a sudden he was interested in the Lord. Do you know that there's a difference between being sorry you got caught and sorry you sinned?
Yes.
Sure, there's a big difference. There's a lot of people that are incarcerated that aren't sorry at all for what they've done. They're just sorry that they got caught and now their freedom has been taken away. There's a big difference. Some people are seeking the Lord because they don't want to face the consequences of their actions. Well, I will tell you this. If you're in trouble and you seek the Lord, you may still have to pay the consequences for your decisions. You know, God is not going to just let you off the hook if you made a mistake. So if you're up on charges and you say, man, if I just get saved, maybe God will. And you see sometimes people, they'll make that claim in court, you know, that lives are cleaned up and everything. Well, if the judge lets you off, that's cool, but don't expect it. God's not going to let you off of the consequences of life just because you're interested in him now. So don't seek him just for that reason alone. Because you might not be sorry that you sinned. It may be that you just might be sorry that you had gotten caught. And now you're getting ready to face the consequences. Your interest in God should be a whole lot deeper than simply the superficial stuff in this life.
Yes.
It ought to go a whole lot deeper than that. Amen. If you're seeking God because you want a free meal, or if you're seeking God, which the prosperity gospel will tell us, because if you seek him, he's going to bless you abundantly, then you're going to be seeking him for the wrong reasons. I will tell you this, that in the end, you will be disappointed. Some people, and in this passage right here, we have evidence of it, that they saw that miracle, and some of them follow him because of the sign or a miracle. And there are people, possibly maybe even someone in this room, that is waiting for God to do a miracle in their life before they do something with the Lord. That's a mistake. Because if you demand of God, kind of like Thomas, Lord, you know, I'm not going to believe unless I see.
Yes.
You really think that God is going to orchestrate things so that you can see a miracle just so that you can believe? Do you really think that God is going to do something supernatural just to, you know what he'll tell us? In fact, I'll show you this passage right here. Look in Luke chapter 16 and verse 31. We'll blow that mentality out of the water. Luke chapter 16, because you might be thinking in your life, man, if God would just do this, if God would just show himself, man, there'd be no more argument. I would seek his face. I would believe him. I would serve him. I would follow him. The thing is, and I have had more than one person tell me this, I just don't see any evidence of God. You know, what has he ever done for me? You know, so what you're doing is you're basically demanding that God step up and do something for you so that you'll believe, as kind of like a, maybe even a bribe. But look at chapter 17. This is the man that went to hell. You talk about a sobering passage. This is the rich man who died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes being in torments. And at the end of his conversation, this is what he says in verse 30 of Luke 16. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And this is what his response was, verse 31. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded the one rose from the dead. Amen. We have evidence of that in John chapter 11, when Lazarus was miraculously raised from the dead. And I'm not talking about some trick and sleight of the eye. I'm talking about calling out to the graveyard. He hops out of his grave in his grave clothes. He's alive. And what did they do? Man, he's alive. We've seen it with our own eyes. We're going to serve him too. We're going to worship him. No, their response was, we need to kill this guy. Really, seriously, kill the one that just raised from the dead. Like, that's what the blindness of the heart is all about. It's unreasonable. Do you know it's unreasonable for you to demand of God to come down and dance for you? Do you know that it's unreasonable for you as a human being, as a lowly creature of this earth, to demand that the King of Heaven come down and perform for you, kind of like he'd be a circus clown or something? God's not going to dance to your tune. God's not going to come and give you some big display. God has already given you everything that you need to know to believe him. You've got it all. You don't need a miracle. You don't need to be persuaded the one rose from the dead. Because, by the way, if you see someone supposedly that raised from the dead, you're still not going to believe. That's the whole thing. You're going to see the miracle, and then you're going to want something else. No, some people are testing the Lord. They're just seeing if the Lord comes through. You know, Lord, I'll serve you, but you do this for me. Well, wait a minute. Like, it's some kind of a deal? Like, you're going to make a negotiation with God? We negotiate for everything else. We buy a car, we negotiate. We buy land, we negotiate. We find a wife, we negotiate, you know? Everything in life is a negotiation. Until it comes from God. Realize, with God, there's no negotiation. You don't make deals with God. You don't say, Lord, I give you this, you give me that, let's work things out. No, God has set his terms of acceptance. God has his terms. We're going to outline those terms in just a second, but God has his terms for you to come to him. And by the way, they're very clear. The fact that you're calling God out and that you're demanding things of God is pretty insane. Because number one, it's never going to be enough. You're going to be like those people that says, come down from the cross and then we'll believe. Right. No, it's never going to be enough. You're always going to want more, and your heart's still going to be wicked. Your heart's still going to be rebellious, because you're not seeking him for what he can, or for what he truly wants you to seek him for. You're not sorry for your sin. You have no sense of your own shame. You have no sense of your need for what he can actually give you. Everything that you're interested in God has to do with this life here. And you're going to end up very disappointed. You see, here's the deal. Look in John chapter 20. John chapter 20 and verse 29. This is after his exchange with Thomas. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Thomas actually got a real merciful exchange with the Lord, because the Lord indulged him a little bit. And the Lord allowed him to touch. It was an amazing thing. Of course, Thomas didn't even have to touch him. He realized his error. He realized his mistake. And he just declared he was Lord. He said, you believed. He said, blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed. Amen. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed. We haven't seen him. I don't know what he looks like. I've never heard his voice. Seriously, I've never heard his voice. And we ought to be careful when we say, the Lord said unto me, you know. Be careful, because you don't know. You've never heard his voice. God's calling us to believe him without seeing anything.
Amen.
No miracle. No proof in your life. No answered prayer before you give your life to him. No having him act before you decide that you're going to give your life to him. No, he wants you to believe without seeing anything. Do you know what that's called? That's called faith.
Amen.
When you come to God, that's the one thing that you have to bring to God is faith. And this is not faith in nothing. This is faith in what he spoke in his word.
Amen.
Wonder why we emphasize so much the Bible and the word of God is because it's the only solid thing that we have.
Yeah.
What if one of us pastors, we stood up and we said, you know, I had a vision and in my vision, God told me. And then I recite my vision and my experience and everything. And then you put your faith in my vision. What are the chances that my vision is skewed and wrong? What are the chances that I just had a dream because I ate too much pizza before I went to bed? What is the chance that I'm confused and I have a mental disorder and I'm seeing and hearing things and I've got hallucinations and I've got auditory hallucinations and I'm telling you God told me, listen, you shouldn't believe any of that stuff. Any of us ever try to pull any of that on you, you ought to run us out on a rail. Because your faith and your authority is not in the experience of another man. It can never be. It can never be in his personality. Unfortunately, in churches, we've got a personality cult where there are, and that's one thing, we have multiple elders. And believe me, we've learned how to keep each other humble. We've got that part down, at least. But you put your faith in somebody's personality, and then what if that person falls? What if that person disappoints you? What if that person doesn't live up to your expectations? Your faith ought to be in something a whole lot more than just simply a man. Your faith ought to be a whole lot more in the experiences of another man. Your faith needs to be in God's word.
Amen.
You see, Jesus lived on this earth 33 and a half years. For 3.5 years, he had a public ministry, and there were tons of things that were written about that he did that we don't have written down. But it says there in this passage right here that we just read, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name.
Amen.
You see, here's the deal. Back in that passage over there that we were reading in John chapter 6, he says, man, you didn't believe me because you wanted really, see, he said, how does he say it? Not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. But he had mercy on them after that because he gave them opportunity to change their mind. He gave them opportunity to correct their mistake. Okay, they made a mistake. They were seeking him for the wrong reasons. All of their motivations were wrong. Everything that they wanted from God was self-centered and had to do with this life and for themselves. But he gave them an opportunity. He said, look, don't labor for the meat that perishes, but for that meat that endures to everlasting life.
Amen.
One of the hardest things to do is to get our eyes off of the temporal things of this world and get them onto things that are eternal. Everything you see here, everything that you can touch is going to burn and melt and go away.
Amen.
Don't put your stock in any of it. It's all just stuff. We're going through that right now. We're looking at stuff and I'm like, honey, it's just stuff. Oh yeah, but it's our stuff. It's good stuff. This was the stuff from, you know, all kinds of sentimental things. And I'm like, honey, it's just stuff. There's other things that matter more, you know. It's amazing how tied we are to the things of this world. Look, don't put your faith in anything in this life. All your faith has to be in what God said.
Amen.
And God has made some promises, some amazing promises. Number one, that His favor is actually something that you can obtain. That right now, there's this big disparity between us and God. I'm sure you felt it. I'm sure you sense it. I'm sure you, that God is up here and we're down here. That God is perfect and we're imperfect. That God is incredibly glorious and we're earthly and filthy and sensual and devilish. And there's this huge disparity between us and God. And I'm sure that you wonder how in the world, Job himself said, how in the world could I possibly get to Him? So you want to get to God today. Where do you go? How do you find Him? Do you travel to heaven and go get Him? He is inaccessible unless He makes Himself available to you. And you know, the amazing thing about the gospel is that number one, you are needy of God. More than anything else in the world, you need God. And not for health, not for wealth, not for a new car, not for bread in your stomach, but you need Him because He is the only one that can take care of your sin problem. He died on the cross for our sins. He shed His blood so that we could have eternal life. He did this for us. He offers Himself now. He says, you believe on Me. You see, that's the thing. He says He's offering us His favor. He's offering us His forgiveness. Do you realize how hard forgiveness is to come by? Forgiveness. I mean, He's going to take all of our crimes. He's going to take all of our sins. He's going to take everything that we ever did. And He's going to wipe the slate clean. And you say, well, how does that make sense? How is justice served in doing that? Is because He took those sins and He paid for them Himself.
Amen.
That thief on the cross says, Lord, remember Me when You come into Your kingdom. And Jesus says, today thou shalt be with Me in paradise.
Amen.
Thank you.
That thief on the cross wouldn't have been saved in 3/4 of our churches because he didn't say the sinner's prayer the right way. But you look at what he said. You look at what that thief on the cross said. He said, you know, we indeed justly, for we've received the due reward for our deeds, but this man had done nothing amiss. Number one, he was admitting his guilt and his own responsibility and his own crimes. And he was declaring that Jesus Christ was innocent and that He was perfect and righteous. You see, when you come to God, you've got to drop all the ulterior motives.
Amen.
Everything that you're expecting from God, you've got to drop all that. He may never make you healthy again. He may never make you wealthy and prosperous. He may never give you what you're asking for in this life. But one thing He has promised to give is the forgiveness of sins to anybody that would call upon His name.
Amen.
That's what He's promised to give. He's given us. Don't worry about what you see here in this life. Worry about what's going to endure unto everlasting life.
Yes.
Nothing you see is going to last into eternity.
Amen.
But what He says will.
Amen.
John 3:16 will still be in existence after this world is gone.
Amen.
There will still be the gospel message, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
When everything you see, hear, feel, and touch is destroyed and gone, that'll still be in existence. The promises of God will still be in effect. And I'm telling you, they were seeking Him because they wanted another free meal. They were being nice to Him because they wanted a 35 millimeter camera. They were playing the game. Look, stop. God knows your heart. He knows when you're putting on a show. He knows when you're pretending. He knows when you want something from Him other than what He's willing to give. God sees the heart. Man, be real. Be honest. Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm wicked. I'm only interested in you for what you can provide. But Lord, I'm wicked and I need you. I need the forgiveness of sins. I need you to save me from my sins. You're honest with God like that and he's going to be honest with you.
Amen.
He's going to save you like he saved that thief on the cross.
Yes.
And there's not going to be any argument. There's not going to be any test beforehand. There's not going to be any, well, you know, let me put you through a test and see if you're really serious about this salvation business. No, you call upon his name. You come to him in faith. You come to him in humility and you come to him believing in true repentance, not sorry you got caught, but really, truly sorry for your sins. And his promise is anybody that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out.
Amen.
And that's his promise.
Amen.
Hey, that promise is good for you today.
Amen.
Drop everything else. Seek his face. I'm telling you, this is the lottery, man. This is the greatest possible offer you could ever have in your life.
Amen.
The offer of forgiveness of sins and eternal life and to be with him when you die. Look, nothing else in this world matters more than your relationship with God.
Amen.
Seek his face. He said, don't labor for the meat that perishes. Labor for that meat that endures to everlasting life. And they said, well, what do we do? How do we do this work? And he says, you believe on him whom he hath sent.
Yes.
So put your trust today in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's our message for you today. That's what we want you to know, is that you need to put your faith in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Do you need us as a priest? No, you don't need us as a priest. We don't need to go to God for you.
Right.
You go to God yourself. You call upon his name and he'll answer you and he'll talk to you. It's my sincere prayer that you would see your need of a savior and that you would call upon the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. If you have any questions or you want us to sit down and go over verses in the Bible and show you things, if you need to see with your own eyes what God has said, it's imprint. And we can show it to you, and we'll be happy to do that. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, I pray specifically if there's anybody in this room that's not saved. Lord, we are so unable to open their eyes and to show them their true need. But Lord, you are, and you can work in the heart, Lord, and you can deal with the conscience, and you can open the eyes, and you have that power to do that, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that if there's somebody here that's not saved, Lord, that you would convince them, that you'd show them. Lord, we plead for their soul, Lord, that they would be saved before it's too late.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Lord bless you. Praise the Lord.